final case this morning is Sartor against Spirion Corporation. We'll let your opponent
certainly
get stuff out of his captain's case. Ms. Cox.
May it please the court, Your Honor. My name is Susan Cox, and I represent the plaintiff in this case, Carolyn Sartor, who was present in court. Your Honor, the district court in this case made three major errors in its ruling below when it denied my client her right to a jury and entered summary judgment against her. First of all, the court refused to consider circumstantial evidence of discriminatory intent, instead finding inexplicably that the plaintiff had waived that argument. Secondly, the court interpreted similarly situated to mean virtually identical and made findings which ignored disputes in the record about the respective qualifications of the individuals at issue here. But most importantly, and really this is the backdrop for the entire case, the court discounted substantial evidence in the record which, if believed by a jury, would show that David Anderson, who was the sole decision maker in this case, was lying about the reason why he fired my client, Ms. Sartor. What he said was the reason he fired her was her alleged failure to take another position with the company, in essence that she fired herself by refusing to take an alternative position. There's an absolute conflict between the individuals about that issue, and because that alone gives us the right to go to a jury, since if the jury were to find Mr. Anderson to be not telling the truth under this court's precedent, under Supreme Court precedent, they would not be compelled, but they could find an inference of discrimination here. Sartor, we argued vociferously and vigorously below that there was circumstantial evidence under the direct method of intent. We argued that Ms. Sartor was one of six out of 2,000 employees, one of six African Americans in a management position.
How many of those 2,000 employees are management?
About 150. I would say about 150, yeah.
Director or above?
Yes, business development director or above. And Asterion is a company that is situated in many cities across the country. It's a national company with a national presence. We contended that Mr. Anderson was hostile and confrontational with Ms. Sartor from the beginning. He subjected her, but not the other two business development directors, to a performance test. He said that he had asked all three business development directors to either to provide him with a forecast of business opportunity so he could make a decision as to where the individuals would go in the reorganization of the company. But in fact, that was an outright lie. One of the business development directors testified that he was never asked, nor did he ever provide Mr. Anderson with such a forecast, and to his knowledge, only Ms. Sartor was required to do that. Then, based only on Mr. Anderson's subjective evaluation of Ms. Sartor's abilities and refusing to look at any objective evidence to the contrary, he concluded that she lacked the sufficient sales strength to succeed in her job, which the company had given her only 6 weeks earlier, finding, in fact, that she had that sufficient sales strength. Then we presented evidence that Mr. Anderson lied when he said he compared the forecasts of the respective BDDs, business development directors, and concluded that Sartor's was the weakest. In fact, Mr. Smith testified he never gave him a forecast to look at, so that was an out-and-out lie. And most importantly, as I said, and this is really the critical fact in the case, Mr. Anderson, a reasonable jury could believe that Mr. Anderson is lying about offering Ms. Sartor an alternative position on February 11th, 2002, and it is that reason that Spirion has given for Ms. Sartor's termination. All of that circumstantial evidence taken together casts doubt about the truthfulness of Mr. Anderson's explanation of what happened here. And under Desert Palace versus Costas and a whole legion of cases from this circuit, evidence that a defendant's explanation for an employment practice is unworthy of credence is circumstantial evidence that is probative of intentional discrimination. With respect to similarly situated, The court found that Ms. Sartor had not shown that the other two individuals who held her exact position, who reported to the exact same supervisor and were in this exact same place, having had their divisions eliminated and facing a reorganization, that those individuals were somehow not comparable to Ms. Sartor. Spirion argued below that really what this was a rift. Big reorganization, lots of people being laid off. What Sartor argued in response to that was, no, with respect to this decision, there were three business development directors, then there were going to be two, and they were going to essentially do the job in the reorganization that the three had done. Under in a single discharge situation, in that setting, this court has held that the similarly situated prong is satisfied by the inference that the people not outside the protected class were, in fact, absorbing the job of the plaintiff. But even if you just look at Ms. Simone and Mr. Smith without reference to that standard, whether they're similarly situated, the only thing that the district court could come up with to distinguish Ms. Simone was that she had vast experience in selling services, which were part of the newly constituted Spirion. But the evidence clearly does not support that finding. The evidence which the district court totally discounted was that she had never made a sale. Not one single sale could Spirion document for this individual. And that the division in which she worked was, in fact, not going to be carried forward at all. With Mr. Smith, the only difference that the court could come up with is that he had some experience selling something called WebSphere. But again, he had no documented sales, whereas my client had over $1.7 million worth of sales in the previous year. She had been a highly praised and honored employee, and she had received a company-wide award for her performance. And in fact, the witnesses, when they testified, as the record will show, had trouble distinguishing how these other two individuals were so much better as to their abilities as Sartor. And finally, getting again to what I think is really the critical point here. The reason that Mr. Anderson gave for firing my client was that he offered her another job on that day, and she turned it down. She categorically denied that that happened. Whenever Mr. Anderson, prior to that point, had discussed this position with my client, he had always discussed it in terms of a choice. There's the business development director role, there's the delivery director role. And when she indicated she wanted to stay in her job, she was not turning down the delivery director role and saying, you know, I'd rather be unemployed. And her version of what happened on the last day is very different from Mr. Anderson. What she said is she came to his office, said, there's no role for you left at this company, and you're fired. And the evidence supports what she said because he had her termination papers with him when he had that conversation. And there's no way you can reconcile her version of what happened and Mr. Anderson. And because that is so, a jury, if it believes Ms. Sartor, can infer that Mr. Anderson is being dishonest. And it is clear that inference can be drawn about the very employment decision at issue here, then the plaintiff must be entitled to a jury in this case. And with that, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Certainly, Ms. Cox.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Barry Al Medin on behalf of Defendant Appellee. Your Honors, this case at the end of the day is about what the facts show is that Spirion eliminated a practice group, the IDS practice group, of which the plaintiff was the business development director in the Chicago region. This was not a riff of one. It was a nationwide decision to eliminate a practice group nationwide. The Chicago area was the first area in which that decision was implemented. As a result, plaintiff's position was eliminated, and ultimately Spirion decided to fill the remaining business development director positions with people who had more experience in the areas upon which the new practice group would focus. Now, Ms. Cox has spent a lot of time arguing that the reason that Mr. Anderson gave was a lie and that therefore the jury should be entitled to hear the case. The reason given for Ms. Arthur's termination was that her position was eliminated and that Mr. Anderson had concluded that there was no other business director development director position available in the new division, and that Ms. Starther had given him a definite choice that she was not interested in the delivery director position. Certainly, Ms. Starther denies that Mr. Anderson re-offered that position to her at the termination meeting. But what's undisputed is that on February 4, when Ms. Starther asked Mr. Anderson about the choice between the two positions and asked him to provide her with a job description for the delivery director position, he sent an email back saying, "Here's the description. I need a definite decision by you tomorrow." And I asked her in her deposition, "And did you provide him with a definite decision?" Answer, yes. And what was that decision? That I'm more suited for the business development director position. And she had no further discussions with Mr. Anderson about the delivery director position after that. So even if you take the plaintiff's version of events as true, as you must on summary judgment, the fact remains that on February 5, Ms. Starther had given Mr. Anderson a definite decision that she was not interested in delivery director position, and she had no further discussions with him about that, even at the point of when she was told that she was being let go. So the dispute over whether or not he re-offered her the position on February 11th is an immaterial one, because if you take plaintiff's version of events as true, there still is not a material issue. The fact is that she never expressed any interest in the position of delivery director after telling Mr. Anderson that she was no longer interested in it. In terms of the similarly situated prong, Ms. Starther spent a lot of time focusing on her sales record. Her sales record, however, is solely in the IDS practice group that was being eliminated. There's no evidence, and Ms. Starther does not assert, that she has a sales record of making sales in the sales offerings that were in large part going to constitute the offerings in the new ADI division. Now, Mr. Anderson made his decision on who to retain based on who had experience selling those offerings. He did not look at the sales records, and it's undisputed, not just by Mr. Anderson, but by the other management team, that Ms. Simone and Mr. Smith had experience in the offerings that were going to constitute the offerings that ADI was going to be focusing on a going forward basis. And in fact, Mr. Smith had experience in a product called WebSphere, which was, quote, key to Spherion moving forward. So therefore, under any measure of the similarly situated standards, Ms. Starther is not similarly situated to Ms. Smith and Mr. Simone. And she was not promoted. There's no evidence in the record to suggest that she was promoted to the business development director position 6 weeks prior to the termination decision. First of all, that decision was made in December, not January, and it was a company-wide reorganization of the position, eliminating the business development director position and making eliminating the practice director position and instead refocusing it as a business development director position because they were worried that people were not focusing enough on sales. And after that decision was made was when the decision to begin the company-wide reorganization and eliminate the IDS practice in Chicago was made. So respectfully, the experience that Ms. Starther had in sales prior to that time is simply irrelevant on a going-forward basis. Council has focused on the number of African Americans in the company. I would suggest that simply focusing on the numbers without providing any explanation of how those numbers came about, whether Mr. Anderson was aware of those numbers or anything of that sort, does not lead to an inference of discrimination that would allow a jury to receive a case such as this one. And if there are no further questions from the court, I would respectfully request the court to affirm summary judgment below.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Ms. Cox?
Concept that she wasn't promoted to business development director. In fact, Mr. Winwood, who was Mr. Anderson's boss then, the only people who got that job, the only practice directors who got that job, were people who had sufficient sales strength to do the job. And those papers were signed on January 2nd. Not in December, not in November, January 2nd. The only thing that changed between January 2nd and February 11th was that David Anderson became Ms. Starthorpe's supervisor. Secondly, the concept that Ms. Starthorpe exercised a definite choice or made a definite decision on February 5th is absolutely contrary to the evidence in the record. Even Mr. Anderson testified that he didn't believe she had made a definite decision. The two people were talking about two jobs, the delivery director job, the business development director job. She stated her preference. stating a preference of job is not like saying, you know what, it's either the delivery director job for you or you're unemployed. That's a very, very different situation. And it actually came up recently in one of the court cases and decided 2 days ago, Luff versus Selig, where someone checked a box saying they didn't really want to move from Madison. That didn't mean that the choice was either you stay in Madison or you lose your job. It's a very different situation. And you can't, just because Mr. Almondine wants to cut off the analysis after February 5th, you can't ignore the last conversation these two people had. Conversation with which Mr. Anderson testified under oath that he offered her the job and that she turned it down, that she essentially quit. That conversation took place, and that dispute of fact about why this person was eliminated, which is at the heart of this case, and there's enough evidence in this record that suggests that Mr. Anderson is not telling the truth about that. This case should be decided by a jury and not by a court. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow. Thank you.